Geschichten vom Ankommen. Junge Stimmen aus dem postsowjetischen Raum. Ein Kooperationsprojekt der Yuan Praxisstelle Antisemitismus und Rassismuskritische Jugendarbeit der Amadeo-Antonio-Stiftung und ManyPod, dem Podcast der Rosa-Luxemburg-Stiftung für die Gesellschaft der Vielen.
Hi everybody, I'm so happy you're here today and listening to this podcast episode. I'm Patrice and believe it or not, this is my very first podcast. Today I have the honor to speak to Anne. Anne lived in Ukraine and whenever the war started, she had to leave. Today we will hear a bit about herself and her story.
My name is Anne Usime. I'm a Nigerian, proud Nigerian woman, black woman from the south, southern part of Nigeria.
I love to laugh.
I love to have intelligent conversations. I have a bachelor's degree in international relations and I'm an aspiring nurse. I'll say a little bit about my family. I'm from a family of six. We're all girls, all women. I'm the second. The first is married. We have two younger ones.
Yeah, and as you know, it's about the idea is about migration from East Europe to Germany.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm particularly interested in black people coming from East Europe to Germany because I think these are stories that are not often talked about.
Yeah, getting like different experiences. So because at times you feel like you're alone in this whole thing. Then when you start listening to people and you're like, oh, really? I thought I was alone. Yeah. I don't think I was even alone. You know, there are times I cried and you know there are times I told myself, man, I'm not sure I'm going to even get past the first stage. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And you know, I went past that stage and it felt like, okay, probably I was the only one going through it. Well, man, I don't even know where to start from. I know that it's a lot. It was crazy, you know. I won't lie, I was perplexed. I was scared.
You mean coming here? In which setting is that?
Like, from the war, I mean, the war, like, from Ukraine. Right.
So you were based and living in Ukraine?
Okay, actually I was schooling. Not really based for a long term. I just started school. I think I've been there for like almost 5 months.
Oh, it's
five months. So it's still like new. Yeah, so I was trying to settle in before the whole thing happened. I had my apartment, started with school already. You know, just trying to get my shit together. Then this happened and I was forced to leave. I wasn't really in communication with the school. You know, I tried reaching out to the school, but they weren't even answering us. So that is one side. And my experience so far was crazy because, you know, I was like the only woman there. Do you understand? I had to be strong for myself. It was crazy. I was scared. Like I said, I was scared. I was perplexed, really confused. I didn't know how to go about the whole thing. You know, I was able to come out, but it took a lot, do you understand? And coming from a third world country, it's like you have to work like double. Yeah. Because when we were about leaving, you know, they allowed the Ukrainians go first. But we blacks, we from the third world country, we had to struggle. I could remember trying to struggle into the train. It was a crazy experience for me, you know, being pushed back, you know, and I was in the midst of other women and they allowed the Ukrainians pass. And because I was a black woman, you know, I was pushed back by the soldiers and I just had to use my black power to enter that train.
What do you mean?
What? I pushed, you know, I was pushing back because, oh my God, in my head, I was like, if I wasn't going to go with the train, because that was the last train then. I wasn't going to go with this train. There was a probability that I wasn't going to go probably the next day. Do you understand? That was what I had in my head, or that was what we had. In short, not just me, I think the situation, you get, it was like, okay, no one is going with this train. Maybe everyone is going to die or something. That was like the feeling.
Yeah.
You understand that feeling? So. And my towel, to brush all the normal stuff. I literally left every other thing. In that moment, I got to really understand how all these things are really vanity. Because in that moment, my life was like everything. You know, my life was just what mattered to me. I didn't even have time to pack clothes or probably pack this or that, you know. And it just also, not just me, just goes to other people that lost a lot of properties, you know, because I do have friends that recently opened businesses, you know, black, white, and some were not lucky, like their buildings were brought down, some of their cars were burnt because of the war. You know, it was really, really crazy.
Yeah.
Do you understand?
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, I only have clothes to lose. What about those ones that have lost? You can imagine the amount of years they probably had to work to get these things. Do you understand? And there was no compensation for them. Till now, you know, they are forced to start all over again. It's just so much, so, so much. And I remember back then, from a woman's perspective, there was another woman, maybe we would have even talked about that. You know, I was on my period. No, it was towards my circle. And a whole lot was going on. I was scared. You know, my body, I couldn't understand my body. I was restless. I couldn't eat. I couldn't drink water. I just couldn't understand my body from a woman's side now. I was just thinking about my life. You know, my parents were worried sick. You know, so scared. So, so scared. I kept on getting calls. It got to a time my phone went off. And when the phone went off, it was like, their child is gone. You know, then I got prayers, you know, people were praying. Now I can laugh about these things, but these were things I went through, and it wasn't funny. You know, it wasn't funny. It was crazy for me. Well, and so far so good. Before I talk about Germany, when I left Ukraine, I went to Poland.
Well, sorry to interrupt. Can you maybe give me a time frame when that was? Was it in
the war happened in February. I remember that same day, we had a conversation about this war. And I told my friends, I was like, come. My instinct at times doesn't lie. I said, I know I've never experienced a war, and I do not want to experience. I don't even want to imagine it. Do you understand? It's not fun. So he was like, never. They will never. I'm like, Putin is not a man that just makes mouth. Do you understand? He's a very, very, he says whatever he says is what he's going to do. And he's been giving this threat out, but for some reason, no one is taking it seriously. And in that moment, I was like, I feel like this is going to happen. So they were like, yeah, one of my friends, she's Ukrainian. She was like, oh, that she crazy doesn't happen. And she experienced one. And then I was like, in the 2000s, they had one, but it wasn't like this serious. It was just like, I was like, man, it wasn't funny. They had to run under the tunnels, like the train station. Some had to run there to seek refuge, something like, and she can't imagine something like that happening again. And I was like, well, it really doesn't happen. So I can't remember the day in particular, but it was a morning, still February. You know, I was sleeping. I was dozing. I was really, really tired. Then the next thing, I started hearing women cry. Like, oh, and they're speaking Ukrainian, I think Russian. You know, what's going on? What's going on? The next thing, and also I had to pick. I called him. I was like, what's going on? He was like, don't you? Yeah, you're sleeping. What's up? Anything you have, start packing. I was like, come, calm down. What? I don't understand what's going on. Ukraine is no way. We are not going anywhere. Calm down. This is not, you know. They're like, and they just bombed Kyiv. They just threw bomb, and now they said that they are sending their troops, their soldiers, and everything, you know. And in that moment, I was like, oh my God, this is real. Like, this is really, really real. Like, at that moment, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to run to. The first thing I did, before it became so serious, the first thing I did, I waited till it was morning. And there was no Bolt, no Uber. I noticed everyone was quiet. Because the Ukrainians already used to, obviously they've experienced the war before, so they were thinking it was maybe business as usual, maybe the normal war, they just run into their houses or seek shelter, and they didn't know it was going to be this bad. So everyone was quiet, and you had to like trek. I remember that they had to trek to a distance before I was able to see cars, like at the main road, Jensen. So when I went there, the first thing I had to do was to see how I could withdraw money. And there was even a limit I could withdraw because the queue was crazy. Like everyone, I was like, man, this is serious. While I was standing, they were throwing bomb close to where I was. I was like, Jesus, now this, I couldn't wait to withdraw the money. I was able to withdraw like a very little amount of money. And I tried to go back home. I called my friend. When the same person that came to take me, do you understand? Because he told me he was going to fly. I told him, God, no, this is right. I said, how can you fly? Can't you see what it's coming from? You know? Then he was like, ah, you already bought. I said, please, why don't you just save your money? And if you can go through the train, no more people, at least where you see people go. And funny enough, I think that same day, later that day, all the flights were cancelled for safety reasons, obviously. And so we're now all together in one boat. So he had a car, and he was the same person that helped me. And even when we were about to leave, they were throwing bomb left, right, center. You know those action movies where you don't even know the bomb is coming from, but you're like, don't worry, stay. Oh my God, Jesus, really, it's funny now, but then it wasn't funny. It wasn't funny at all, like one bit. And so eventually we got to the train station. No, first the car broke down, then we had to trek, and we were able to see a boat. And guess how much the boat was trying to charge us? Like $1,000 on a normal day. If you're to pay, that shouldn't even be up to, just like saying not up to 20 euros. But in that moment, like, to show you how I don't know how people think. In that moment, they were thinking about making money. You know, like, people were not even moved. Some people were not even so moved. The ones that were doing the bolts, like, they were just happily getting money from people. I'm like, are you guys not going to run or something? Am I the only one that cares about my life here or something? Eventually, we paid the $1,000. Yes.
How was that for you?
You know, it's crazy because I know how much did I really have. So he added, and someone else, a friend of ours, so we're able to. At that point, you know, you're not thinking about money. You're just all about safety. You get, like, you don't care about anything that concerns material. You don't even want to know. You don't even mind giving everyone everything you have at that moment just to stay alive. And that was the mental state we found ourselves at that point. Then we got to the train station, getting to the train station again, you know, another money, you know, there were some cabs outside, and you need to see the mass, the multitude of people that day. Oh my God, in my head, I'm like, you mean these people are in Ukraine? Like, you mean we have this amount of blacks? Like, the amount of blacks I saw there in my life, to be honest, I have never seen that amount in Ukraine. Well, I was like, well, so the war would bring out this other side of Ukraine, because there are times I go out, I'm like, why can't I just see a black person? Why can't I just see black people? I get to see black people, but it's like very rare. Do you understand?
Yeah, maybe.
School or something. So I was surprised to see the amount of people that I saw. You know, not just blacks, Indians. I saw Chinese people.
Yeah,
so I was really surprised because the blacks I saw now looked more than the... This. I was like, where have you guys been? I don't understand.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I'm not just, you know, I saw a lot of families, black families, and And it just got me wondering, like, where were these people? Where have they been? Could it be they were not in Kyiv, or were they in Kharkov? Maybe, I really don't know, maybe some migrated all the way to come to Kyiv, from Kyiv, and they, you know, I just couldn't place it, you know. Then after that, we also got a warning at the train station that they were going to bomb the train station. Everyone said, we're not sure of what we're running to. We're running inside the train, under the underground, you know. And that was where I was waiting for the train. I think the train I took was supposed to be the last train for that day. The pressure was crazy. Everyone trying to struggle. The police people were not nice. I won't lie to you, especially to black people.
Yeah.
Do you understand? They were aggressive. And in that moment, you know, you wouldn't blame anybody, black, white. Everyone is scared. Do you understand? There are people that have never experienced that kind of thing in their life. Do you understand? They don't even know. Some don't even know how to curb or contain fear. Even the strongest man, maybe in that moment, didn't even know how to compose or hold himself. Do you understand? There are a lot of... Because I remember there was a guy that I was standing close to before the train came, and he was just like praying. He's like, he has a family. He just wants to go back home in one piece. That was his prayer at that moment. So I could just imagine, and also being a woman, trying to be strong for myself and, you know, listening to different talks, and I'm like...
So you made it on the train, and did you know where this train was going
to? Yeah, of course. The train was going to Poland. Yeah, Poland was like the next stop for everyone at that moment.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
Every destination, though, at that time, you know, they had like different trains going to different places. Some were going to Romania, but it wasn't that same train. But that particular train was going straight to Poland.
Okay.
So I didn't go through the other way. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't have to cross the border with my legs and all. I went through the train, which was safe for me. Okay. It was very uncomfortable. I couldn't pee. I couldn't drink water. I didn't even... In short, the guy... my friend was able to get something before we traveled. Like, we went on the... You know, everything... The other guy that couldn't make it was the one holding the water, the biscuit and everything. Inside the train, you know, I just had a whole lot going on. I turn here and I'm like looking at a woman with her kids, and maybe there was one I saw, like the dad had to drop the daughter off. She didn't want to go, you know, he had to stay back to fight and all. So I could just imagine the pain on the women's faces, because where I was, the section I was, there were like lots of women there. And I'm pretty sure some pregnant, some with their kids. And I noticed I didn't see the men.
Was,
so,
was that by chance, do you think, that women were in the section or?
Well, I think it was, well, where I was like the women's section. So okay. Do you understand it? Because at first they were like women and children. For some reason, I wasn't heard. But I had to push my way, do you understand? Like, push through to get in. I know what I went through. So I felt bad for the women, the ones that had to leave their husbands and weren't sure what was going to happen next. You know, maybe they went to fight. Or I don't know. Weren't just sure what was going to happen. I just felt for them. It was like a crying competition. It was crazy because everyone is crying. Like, oh, this is sad. I feel so, so bad. Then I was just somewhere at the corner trying to think about my family and think about my life. And I'm like, oh God, I have stories to tell my kids. The train was very, very uncomfortable. It was really uncomfortable for me. I couldn't even sleep. I think I was able to get 30 minutes sleep. At that moment, I was just like thinking, oh God, what's going to happen? But the moment we left Ukraine, I was like, I felt relieved. There was like this relief. Even if the train was choked, I felt relieved inside the choked train. The next stop was Poland. I came down and we got a warm welcome. They received us well, Jennifer. In that moment, I saw people that came out with boxes of clothes, and we had the medical people out there. And rushing out to people to check up on them, and they had to go through my passport, my ID card, to make sure, they had to also make sure I had the stamp on my passport. And for those that didn't have the stamp, they were kept somewhere. Yeah, first. So I was happy. I had all everything, so I was able to move past through. Then they had people that gave us toiletries, like, you know, we had all of that. Then it was now time to get an accommodation. So I was lucky. I met this I met this this driver. He's like an Uber person. He just asked me, where am I going to? I was like, I don't know. I do have a friend that stays in Krakow. Then, a friend of mine reached out to me that stays in Krakow. Though I didn't get to, like, meet with her. Like, I met her through my boyfriend. So she told me that she has a place, though it's a hostel. So, and that was, in that moment, that was how I went to Krakow. So I went to Krakow, and someone now told me about a hostel that they're leasing out to Ukrainians. Like, people that came from the war, you don't need to pay, it's free, this, that, and all. I was like, wow, that is really, really good. I would love that. So I went there. All I needed to do was to sign in. I think I had, like, plus or minus, I had, like, a 1 month stay, but I didn't get to stay up to a month in Poland.
Okay, why?
Well, because they're really, really nice. I liked it, but there was just like, I felt like they were still a bit rigid in their thinking. They weren't like so open-minded. And in that moment, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to Germany. Yeah, in that moment, that was when I told myself, okay, I think, I don't know, I really don't know what Germany has for me, but I went to Germany. Germany is like the boss of Europe, you know, for me when it comes to others. And in terms of things I want to achieve as well, I feel Germany like has an edge. I already had it at the back of my mind that I know it won't be easy, you know, but any which way, I would adjust. I would blend in, you know, based on the fact that I'm a Niger girl. I got to Germany. I met some people on the train. I met two or three guys. You know, they would go talking. They were so nice to me. They were really, really nice to me. And, you know, we started sharing our experiences, how it was, what I went through. And I was like, wow, I can imagine. So we got to Germany and we were kept somewhere. I didn't like that. I think that one, I didn't like it. I didn't like the experience. They were kept in one room. They said they wanted to quarantine us. Like,
we just understand. So you come from Poland to Germany and they kept you somewhere in Germany.
Yeah.
Is this in Berlin?
I can't remember. All of us that were inside the train.
Okay.
You understand? Yeah. That came from Ukraine.
Okay.
Were kept in a room. It's like a camp, sort of. They said they wanted to quarantine us. And which is very stupid. You know, they took all my credentials, they took my phone. Like, I was like, in that moment, I was scared. I was like, oh, did I make a mistake? Oh my God, I can't turn back right now. I'm already here. You know, I couldn't access my phone. I couldn't eat. And based on the fact that I've not even been eating, you know, even when I was in Poland, you know, my eating, it was just like that because I was still not settled. You know, so, they went through everything. They took, they checked the money I had, put it in a plastic. I was like, they asked for my documents. Luckily, I had everything. I showed them this. I'm a student. I showed them my ID card. And they told me to strip naked. I was like, no, excuse me, if it's not a woman who's coming to do this. Yeah. So the women were like, they started laughing. I made the officers laugh. Yeah, in that moment, the women started laughing. They're like, oh my God, it has to be a woman that would. And in that moment, I didn't want to blame them. Maybe they had to check for drugs because there are people that use this opportunity to smuggle in drugs. I don't want to give them excuse, but that was not nice because I was cold And now they're like telling me to strip and they check me, you know. So I did that and I wore my clothes and they gave me this hand tag. And they were like, I should wait somewhere. So I waited and I was waiting. I was thinking maybe they would release me that day because there was nothing incriminating on me or my documents, my credentials, everything was okay. So I was waiting and waiting. So later that day, I think it was like, I couldn't even tell the time because I wasn't with, they took my wristwatch, every single thing, anything smart, anything that has to do with this, everything, they took everything. I couldn't even tell what it was, but you can just tell, like, we're just looking at the window, maybe up or something. It's already dark, like, when do I get to live here? I was inside the room, I had a very uncomfortable bed they gave me, I had to hustle, so it was like,
I had to hustle to people's. Two people's blankets, I coupled it together and I made my bed. I couldn't sleep. I was so restless. I was like, oh, what could be the time? I was like, please, I just want it to be 5 or 6 because it was still dark. I was like, I just want it to be 5 or 6 already. Let me just know it's another day. I waited. Still, they were still telling us. Then the next thing, they wanted to be aggressive. They now had this tape. You know when you want to do investigation, that tape, that yellow tape, yeah, we had that. I was like, I don't know what's going on. And we had to, they gave us, they sectioned us. We were like in different sections, you know. So all I could do was to brush my teeth. I couldn't take a shower, nothing. And they had, I think I had bread and this small butter jam thing, that primer, that small thing. Yeah, with water. And I was like, is this the best you guys can do for people that are just coming from a war? This is not fair. You know, I started having this kind of mindset about Germans. But then again, I was like, okay, let me just not conclude completely, you know. They know what they're doing. I only believe they know what they're doing, but this is not fair. I don't like it. Do you understand? It's not right. I'm not sure they will do this to Ukrainians. And majority of us that were inside the trains were not Ukrainians. We were like third world countries. We had people from Pakistan. We had Indians. We had blacks as well. We had Asians as well. I tried looking out to see if there would be any Ukrainian. Nothing. Very strange, right? And I didn't even take note of this until the day I was supposed to leave. You know, I started looking, trying to use my eyes to screen everyone. I was like, oh, this guy looks like he's Pakistani. I don't see any Ukrainian here. Is this supposed to be? Why? Do you guys know we're coming from Ukraine and we don't need this kind of treatment? I understand you guys need to document, you need to do your papers and paperwork, and there are better ways you can do this thing and not like this. I think I stayed there for like almost 2 days. I wasn't in communication with anybody. I wasn't talking to my family. So couldn't talk to anybody. And people were worried. I'm so worried because I told them I was in Germany and that was it. We were talking when I was on the train, and when I got to the train, nothing. So it's enough for you to be worried as a person, or as a father or a mother, you know. And one night, the bus came and took us. We were, to be honest, we weren't really sure what we were applying for. But all I knew was that they asked me, what do I want to do here? And I told them I was a student in Ukraine and I would also love to study. Do you understand? I just told them how I felt, and it was just so direct and very basic. This is why I'm here. I want something better for myself. And coupled with the war, you know, I just had to leave. I'm coming from Poland. I told them I went to Poland and I checked for some schools, and for some reason it wasn't really sitting. And I was like, okay, Germany is it for me. And I came to Germany and I was so cold, tired, fucked out. So we're all inside the room, not just me, other foreigners as well. Like, I don't know, maybe they're third countries, but foreigners, they were blacks, they were, you know. So when I told them everything, the first thing they did was to offer me food and couldn't really eat anything. I was like, okay, don't worry, just do water first, get myself. You know, then I sat down, I was with the other guys, and they were like, okay, what's going to happen is they will look for how they will help us with an accommodation. And in that moment, they were calling. I remember I didn't even sleep. I was just on the chair, just like this, till the next morning. And I just got a call. They got a call, sorry, and they're like, and you can just be happy. Like, there's somebody that wants to take you in. You know, then I now look at my other friends, the ones that came in, I was like, oh God, how would they be? Then we all went together. I was like, okay, maybe can they come with me as well? And that was how we all went. We all went there. It was this very, very nice Italian guy. And he offered us his place, and we went to... He left the house for us. He went to stay at his girlfriend, you know. So we're there for like some time, and... one day he came and he told us that the house, the landlord is complaining about He's complaining about the amount of people
living in the part of the
yeah, he was like, if it was just a woman or something, it would have been a different thing. But based on the fact that I'm all this one down, he's not so comfortable with that. So I was like, oh my God, what's going to happen now? So he was not like, what he's going to do is that he's going to disburse us maybe to other friends of his. And that was how I met Maxi. So Maxi is his friend. So since then, initially I was supposed to stay for like 2 weeks. And it's been beautiful, you know. It's been really beautiful. She's just a very sweet soul. And she's been putting me through. You know, she had to make sure I go to the German, go to school. You know, because according to what she would always tell me, she's like, that is just the key. You understand German. There's just so much you can be able to, like, get your way around. But if you don't understand German, it's a problem. In that moment when everyone is so desperate to look for answers and all, you know, people also make mistakes as well. Oh, I think that's one thing I learned about Germany, like, always do your research. Where is it written? Like, which place? What did they say? This in what section? Though everything is not here. You can't see everything on the internet. There are lawyers you can meet. You know, that's the whole essence of the whole NGO thing. They also refer you to lawyers, counselors, you know, and all of that. So yeah. So I think that made it easy for me. Like, being able to navigate my way. There's even this lawyer that was really of instrumental help to me. His name is Alexandra Godsey. Yeah, so he really helped me as well. How did I get to know about him? It was through the same NGO. I enjoyed the fact that, yeah, she gave me one more home and everything. But then again, I was like, oh God, I just wish I could have my own space. Getting an apartment here in Berlin is really not easy. That's like the first, it's crazy. It's like a nightmare. It's really, really stressful. That thing just destabilizes your whatever you're trying to pursue and all, you know, because instead of you to be thinking of, oh, okay, so what's next? And hey, so this, you're thinking of, oh God, so where next am I going to right now? This place is not like so long, but at least I do have like a time to really like put other things first, yeah, like scale of preference in economics, prioritize, put other things first before I start thinking about where I'm going to be. But so far, so good. I think for accommodation now, this is settled, is to focus on the others. Yeah,
okay. What are the other things you're focusing on?
Okay, so right now I'm thinking about my German class still. Okay. Kind of focus on that because it's imperative. Yeah. Very, very imperative for me personally. I'm also thinking about going into nursing. Yeah, that's something I'm thinking of going into. So that's also my focus right now too. Like my career-wise.
Okay.
Yeah, that's also like something I'm aiming at.
Is this something you really like to do?
Yeah, I love to care about people. I love to take care of people. Yes, I love that. But, you know, it's not my favorite, but it's something that I like. Okay. I have not thought about it, but I'm willing to give it a try. And yeah, and we'll see how it goes.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, of course. You know, when you talk about stories, especially with what happened. Yeah, everyone expects you to be sad and all, you know, but then again, you laugh about it. You know, create some form of humor. It's not funny, but at the same time, you know, try to, you know, but I laugh about it right now because for me, it's my past.
What I feel like I'm most grateful for is, it's life, and I'm always all about the positive, and it's good we speak and people hear, and they also know that they are not alone in this whole thing.
Sie hörten Geschichten vom Ankommen, junge Stimmen aus dem postsowjetischen Raum, ein Kooperationsprojekt der Yuan Praxisstelle Antisemitismus und rassismuskritische Jugendarbeit der Amadeo-Antonio-Stiftung und ManyPod, dem Podcast der Rosa-Luxemburg-Stiftung für die Gesellschaft der Vielen.